75 degrees here in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. The Jeremy Lawrence Show. It is 4:08. And glad that you're here with us for hour number two. We've talked about some of the top problems that we've faced as a nation. And, of course, we're going to focus in a little bit more on something that's a Michigan problem this particular hour. One of the things that you hear over and over and over again, the roads are awful. The roads suck. Oh, the roads are terrible. And in some spots, yes, they are. They're bad. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this appears in MLive today, this comes out of Lansing, where there is a poll that was put together by Marketing Resource Group. They said that 68% of Michigan voters would fork over an extra $10 a month in taxes to maintain and improve roads and bridges. That includes 71% of Democrats, 59% of Republicans. Now, the poll was commissioned by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. They've been pushing for increased transportation funding for over the years. I'd be interested to see how all of that was termed. But the whole point is that they said that 56% of people agreed that they normally don't favor raising taxes, but would support a reasonable increase to fix the roads. Now, personally, I think, okay, first of all, define reasonable. What would be reasonable to some would be not reasonable to others. You know, should it be a percentage or should it just be, oh, okay, yeah, tack on 10 bucks for roads? And maybe that's another thing, too, that, you know, when you're doing your tax returns, maybe you should do that every year now. Have that thing where it's like, okay, here it's the Michigan Road Fund. If you want to donate $10, maybe that's an interesting idea. I don't know. Probably, again, depends on where you live as to what you'd feel about that. But I wanted to open up the phone lines to you on this one because, honestly, you know, I like the idea that the government is looking for ways to take care of the problem. I mean, you've seen the passage of that package that would raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $450 to $500 million in road funding. And that's basically just by shifting from this to that and moving this over here. I mean, there really weren't any new taxes that were taking place. But do you think that maybe, and I think everybody pretty well agrees that, yeah, that's a start, but there needs to be something else done. Governor's come out and said, well, it's got to be over $1 billion extra a year to be able to get this to the point where we need it to be. So, really, I'm curious what you think about this. Do you think it makes sense to pay a little bit more in taxes if, in turn, you're going to get better roads? Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this. The phone number is 382-4280. That's the local number in the Kalamazoo area. It's toll-free, 877-382-4280. Or you can text us, 80373. And as we do get those comments from time to time, we will share those comments as we get them throughout the program. You know, voters have talked about, yeah, I mean, the roads, and certainly in some spots, they are bad. They're saying that 8 and 10 think the roads have gotten worse over the past year. Now, granted, with the winter the way that we've had it, you can understand that. And I hear you, because you're going to have potholes everywhere. That one's easy. But should we raise taxes for it? Love to hear what you got to say about it. 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 as we continue on with the program. Let's chat with Paul, standing by in Scotts. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeremy. I've been on the bandstand a lot lately about increasing taxes. Let's just pay for the roads and get it done. I've had a lot of friends that have said, are you crazy? We pay enough right now. And I used to say, things cost more than they do now. Well, then a friend of mine said, check the website and see what gas taxes are in every state across the country. And by golly, Michigan's like in the top five states for gas tax already. So I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm not as much to say, let's just pay more and fix them. I want to know where the money's going now. And furthermore, I think another problem is we have some pretty liberal weight limits on for trucks. And I think that wrecks our roads combined with the weather. And I think we need to address that when we fix the roads so we can preserve them in the future.
So you think something a little more long-term would be appropriate?
Most definitely, yeah. Something that will preserve the roads once we do get them fixed. But I don't know where the money's going right now. I heard, too, that MDOT standards for road construction have been lowered a lot, the quality of the roads that are required. So if you combine that with liberal weight laws, that might be why our roads keep falling to pieces even after they're fixed. I question how good of a job we're getting when roads are done.
Well, I think that was one thing that was brought up, and I know the House passed something with this, talking about road warranties, the whole idea of, you know what, if you fix it, you got to put a warranty on it. You think that's a good idea, too?
Absolutely. I see roads that are less than 5 years old that are just a mess. And it's like, what happened here? That's just inexcusable. That never used to happen. And again, I've heard that the standards for concrete and for the tar, the bituminous standards that are used, whatever, and the roadbed standards are greatly relaxed from what they used to be.
Yeah, and that might cause problems, too. All right, Paul, I appreciate your call today. Thanks.
Thank you. Yep.
All right, we move on to Larry standing by in Pawpaw. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. And I sort of agree with the last guy. You really don't know where the money to get now goes. You know, how much of it is actually going for the roads and how much is going for the Honeywell theme park or something somewhere else. You know, and so what happens is, let's say that the amount of money they need to spend for roads is $1 million, and they think, well, we need $200,000 for repairs. Okay, so they say, well, we'll add 10 cents tax to get this $200,000. Okay.
Okay.
So they get the $200,000. They got the million, and the $200,000 that they had, they spend it somewhere else, and it never changes. It always goes up. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's just like the lottery. When they started the lottery, it was all about the schools, you know. And as soon as they figured out how much money that they were going to make on the lottery, they quit. They diverted that much money to something else. So it, in a way, it's going for schools, but in a way, it's just a diversion.
So you think maybe the answer is in now? You know, certainly the House did some of that, looking at diverting this and diverting that, and coming up with the money they did. But do you think maybe the answer is digging a little deeper and saying, "All right, we got all this income; it's coming in. What's it supposed to fund? And what do we need to do?" I mean, basically starting from scratch with the budgeting process.
Do you believe what a politician tells you?
Certainly not.
You know, you know, and where's the money going that they got now? I mean, are they spending it wisely? Or is it going for Lord knows who, what? You know?
Well, chances are, I mean, the answer is a little bit of everything. Yeah, we get some of what we wanted, but then there's other things where, okay, some such and such needs a new desk, and then, you know, this other thing over here that we need to pay for, and, you know, it's probably a mix.
The problem is if you give them a new tax, I don't care if it's just a penny. It will never go away, and it, 10 years from now, it'll be a dollar. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can remember several years ago. I think this was back when I still had landline phones, which I've given up long ago. But one of the things on there was a tax on phone lines. And if you dug back a little bit in with this tax, it had been on the books since 1898.
Yeah.
And the whole point of it was to fund the Spanish-American War. And, of course, that war ended long ago, but the tax sure didn't.
Well, and that's the problem. When they do these taxes, you know, if you look at your car insurance bill, mm-hmm. stuff when they we first had to have insurance was $1, $2.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
You know, once they, you know, if they add a new tax for a specific reason and it's only going to be so many years or whatever, mm-hmm. it never, ever goes away and it always gets bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Larry, appreciate your call today. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time. Bye.
All right. If you'd like to get in on the show, just like Larry just did, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. 80373 will get you in on things as well. If you would like to text, you just don't have time to get on the phone lines with us, we certainly welcome you that way as well. You know, that's the other interesting part of this is people are saying, well, yeah, I'll pay a little bit more to take care of roads if that'll do it. But there's the other part of it. And I think Larry brought up an interesting point, and the previous caller to him brought up the same point, the idea of, all right, if taxes go up, we say, you know what, we need to fix the roads, we need to do it, and we're going to need to tax you this much, and guess what, in 10 years, we'll be good, we'll be able to roll that back. Will it ever happen?
I'm not sure, because the costs of things just keep going up and up, and it just doesn't seem to stop anywhere,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm not really certain.
And as with most things, you know, let's not forget, you're talking about government, which is this whole idea of, all right, you know what? We are going to cut that. But their cut is a reduction in the rate of growth. It's never about an actual cut. So the money needs to come in regardless. So that's kind of what you deal with. But you've got to wonder if still there is some sort of place for raising a little bit more money and saying, all right, it goes to roads, only roads, and nothing but roads. And when we get to the point of where roads are back up where they need to be, then we'll no longer collect that one. You got to wonder, should we do it? Is there a way to do it without the politicians absolutely just throwing fits over it? I don't know. 382-4280. 877-382-4280 or 80373. You could text us your thoughts. And people have definitely done that throughout the program. And as we move along, of course, we will share some of those texts with you as well. Let's head on over to the phone lines where Fred's standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
I think, at least in the city of Kalamazoo, part of our road problem is a weight restriction problem that we have. I've noticed in the city of Kalamazoo that we have heavy vehicles that are not capable of being on the roads that they're on, but yet we allow them to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
We can give them a guarantee that the road won't crumble, but if we're allowing semi-routes on public fairways that really are nothing more than muck underneath them,
mm-hmm.
those roads can't handle that kind of weight.
Sure.
That happens with Metro. It happens with especially the industry that we have left in Kalamazoo,
mm-hmm.
Especially on the north end by where the paper mill is. There are vehicles that are on those roads that they're Patterson, some of those areas, the main roads are okay. But when you get off into the branch roads, those roads are, they don't have anything under there but maybe some footing and a little bit of muck that's mm-hmm. holding them up.
Sure.
So we have to look at, what's stabilizing these roads. We have to look at the ground underneath it. It really is going to be a intelligent, in-depth look, at least in the city of Kalamazoo, what we have to do to stabilize the roads. And one of the last comments I want to say is I talked to an old Dutchman years ago,
mm-hmm.
and unless we truly demuck our roads, we'll always have problems, because as you build a building on soft dirt, or what they call non-hard pan clay, what happens is that dirt pushes up in another spot.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Sears building downtown Kalamazoo, they tried to put it on what they called hard pan or hard clay, But if you notice on Burdick Street, the ground and the sidewalks will buckle because that dirt is actually shifting underneath. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that. You know, and I think that's the other part of the issue is to get some relatively smart people together to get all this stuff figured out. I could guarantee you I am no expert on roads. I know what feels good under my tires, and I know what's travelable.
Yes.
You know.
And my road right now isn't very travelable because it's under construction.
See, but they're working on
yes.
that. It's going to be nice when they get finished.
Yeah, but when we had heavy vehicles travel down that road, the road would literally sink in because they didn't build it right the first time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this time they're building it correctly.
Here's hoping.
Yes.
Here's hoping. But what do you think? Do you think that's a good idea to say, all right, you know what? More taxes? Yeah, I could deal with that. I could deal with more taxes. That wouldn't be a problem. I think we could do that because we need better roads in the state. You believe that? Even if you don't believe it, either way, I'd love to hear from you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or text us 80373 as we continue ahead. The Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. -75 degrees in Kalamazoo, 426. The Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. This portion brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 to 2. Talking about roads, what do you think? Should we pay more in taxes to get better roads? Apparently there's a poll out there that says a majority think, yeah, that would be a good idea. But what do you think? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Heading to the phones just now to talk with Marv in Plainwell. Hi, Marv.
Yeah, how you doing? The only thing I got to say is politicians lie to you. They never do what they tell you they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing is that, you know, most of the trucking companies don't buy only the fuel they have to buy in Michigan on account of the taxes are so high on fuel.
Right.
And the more they raise it, the less of this they're going to get. And I think they're taxing themselves right out. Because all you got to do is look at the truck stops around Michigan that are closed up. They're ghost towns now. And, you know, this would tell you right now our taxes are way too high on our fuel.
Okay. Well, what do you think the answer is, though?
The answer is, I think if they lowered the fuel tax down the way the other states have got it, you'd get more business, so you're going to sell more fuel, so you'd have more tax money.
Okay.
But, you know, they keep raising the road tax, and you know, like your trucking companies and that, they aren't going to buy it. And you look around these vehicles, the tires aren't the ones that burn the fuel.
Okay.
You pull into a truck stop and a truck takes on, you know, 300 gallons of fuel. That's a lot of money right there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they're throwing all this away. They're fueling before they get to Michigan.
Okay. All right. Marv, I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And we just did have someone text in a little bit ago on this same issue talking about, they said they hadn't heard anyone bring up farm equipment. It's very heavy and doesn't pay road tax, and they drive on roads as well. And I think there's something to that. I mean, that they're not on the interstates.
And no, there's signs that clearly state that
yeah.
they cannot travel on the interstate.
I'm thankful I don't get behind a combine on the interstate. That would be bad.
You're never going to get by them.
But you know what? There might be something to that. I don't know. But part of the issue, too, is if you put taxes on things, particularly if you're putting taxes on farmers, well, guess what? That cost is going to be passed along to us. Just like, you know, taxes, if you go and increase taxes on semis and things like, well, guess what? Yeah. That cost is going to be passed on to us. Because that's the bottom line. That's how it works when it comes to that stuff. So, you know, is it the best choice? You know, there's apparently a majority of people out there that say, yeah, they're willing to do it. But it sounds like there's a very strong group of people that are saying, well, wait a minute. That might not be such a good idea for a variety of reasons. you know, for most of which that, you know, some people are saying, well, you know what? When the government gets a tax like that, what happens when the problem's solved? They're still collecting the tax. Because let's face it, the government hasn't met a tax it doesn't like. But then there's, you know, the other part of it all. And the singular part of it for people that are saying, well, what if we're actually taxing too much? What if we're to a point where people don't want to do business in this state because the taxes are so high? It's an interesting thought. Definitely. Well, this one will continue to stay in the news, certain of that. As we continue along, you know, the minimum wage has made, it's made headlines here in Michigan. It's making headlines nationally and internationally. We'll talk about it here in just a little bit and take your phone calls on it as we continue ahead. -75 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. And, of course, this particular portion of the program is brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union. The best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Now, I wanted to dig into to minimum wage because some interesting things happened over the weekend, and I want to share those with you. Before we get to that, though, I have sitting in front of me four tickets to go see Blended. Now, Blended is a brand new movie that is coming out this Friday. This is the latest in the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movies that you know they keep putting out about every 8 to 10 years or whatever. They put out a new one. This is a new one from them. It's going to be at Celebration Cinema in Portage starting on Friday. I've got four tickets for you to see it, and it is time for you to be able to win those. Michael, did you know this was coming?
Yes, I did.
So you've got trivia.
Yeah, I do. You couldn't beat me today.
I tried. I made a legitimate effort to distract him, and yet he still has come up with some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia. Anyway, so here's what we're going to do, because Michael's insisting. First of all, if you want to win these tickets, you've got to call 382-4280. Or 877-382-4280. It's four tickets to go see Blended at the theater coming up this Friday. So you know what? You'll be among the first in the country to see this movie. And this is going to be one of those things that is very likely to be a hit. Seems like these two, whenever they get together, it's a hit. So call one of those numbers. And then, yes, you'll have to answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia he's just come up with. Michael, go ahead.
Okay.
Gosh.
Here's a hint. The only way you're going to beat me to the punch is if you give them away right at the beginning of the show. Anyways, with the question, it's Adam Sandler related, and it deals with the movie Happy Gilmore. What color jacket did Happy Gilmore win when he won the tour championship?
What color jacket? See, I figured you were going to have something in there about Bob Barker or something. said Happy Gilmore, you know. Okay, mm-hmm. So what color jacket did Happy Gilmore win?
When he won the tour championship.
When he won the tour championship. Okay, so head to the internet, take a look, then give us a call. 382-4280-877-382-4280. We're going to continue ahead with the Jeremy Lawrence Show, and when we continue ahead, interesting things. The minimum wage, it's been talked about. The Swiss have talked about it too, but they came to an interesting conclusion, and I'll share it with you straight ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. It's 75 beautiful degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 4:46. Jeremy Lawrence Show with you, and we had the opportunity to give away some tickets just a little bit ago. Just a little bit ago, we asked you a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trick. I wanted to give you the tickets. I wanted to give them to you and not have to worry about all of this. But no, Michael had to answer his you know, ask his dumb, stupid, ridiculous question. So, since I want to fill people in, because there's people sitting here going, all right, who won and what was the answer? Because a lot of people got the answer on this thing wrong. So what was the correct answer to the question? What was the question, in case somebody's joining us just now?
The question was, what color jacket did Happy Gilmore win when he won the tour championship?
Okay.
And the answer was gold.
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 Okay. Won a gold jacket.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a line in the movie that Adam Sandler did say. I can't repeat it on the air, though, because it had, had a swear word in it.
Of course, there were an awful lot of lines that he said, particularly when he missed the ball.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's one of those movies I haven't watched in a while, I have to admit. But apparently, if you're into Adam Sandler, he's got another one coming out, and with Drew Barrymore. So, you know, it gets a little bit better. Those two have gotten together on, several things now.
Yeah, they have.
Blended, a Wedding Singer they were together in.
50 First Dates.
That was a particularly good one. Anyway, who won these wonderful tickets to go see this movie?
Jill from Kalamazoo.
All right. And Jill, I don't know if Jill, if you're listening, if you didn't realize this, not only do you get to go see it, but you get to be the hero for three of your friends. So, you know, we're helping you out here. Not that much, because you had to actually answer some ridiculous trivia question. But you know what?
She said her son knew the answer.
There you go. All right, Jill, tell you what. We're bringing your family together. How about that? There you go. It gives you a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. So, although I probably shouldn't have brought that up, because now you're going to be encouraged to do more questions. So, all in.
Oh, yes. More questions. Not today, though.
No giveaways ever again.
What? No.
No, of course. Shh. We're going to do another one tomorrow. But don't tell him. Okay. Anyway. Wanted to talk a little bit about minimum wage because, you know, it's been brought up. The Senate has passed their version of it. And I said right here on the program, I wasn't sure where I stood on it with the whole $9.20 and that kind of thing. Obviously, the House is looking at it going, really, guys? $9.20? So, you know, the House is going to come up with their own version. I mean, there are some that are saying the House isn't going to come up with a version at all. I don't buy that. I think they're going to have a version of this. I think they're going to do something to be able to say that they're doing something on it. But the interesting thing, and this happened in Europe, where in Switzerland, Swiss voters rejected a minimum wage. That was it was going to create the world's highest minimum wage. And they rejected it. Some of the reasoning behind it, they said that with that, most voters decided that, you know what, it was going to cost jobs. Economic competitiveness was not going to be there. And that costs in the country were going to go even higher. Now, not to pat myself on the back, but where have you heard those very arguments? Who is it that has said arguments just like that? Who has it been? If you've listened to this program at all, you know who it's been, and he's talking to you right now. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but the bottom line is this. Swiss voters came to the same conclusion I did as well. And that is simply, if we're talking about a minimum wage increase, yeah, you know, it makes some sense to do something. Okay, that's fine. But should we do everything that is being asked here on this? You know, an awful lot of Democrats have said, well, we need to take it up to 10-10 and that's it. We need to help these people that are in poverty, and we need to help them. Well, that's fine, but how many people making minimum wage are actually in poverty, actually trying to rent an apartment on minimum wage? It's really not happening. It isn't happening as much as you like to think it is. So I think, you know, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here because the Senate's obviously dealt with it. I think personally the Senate's going to have to deal with it again because the House is going to come up with their own version. And it's going to be different. The cost on it is going to be lower. Probably going to be higher than the $8.15 that was suggested in Margaret O'Brien's bill. I think it's going to go up from that. And I think it's going to look similar to the Senate's version of it. But I think the cost is going to be lower. But I think there's some other provisions that they're really going to look at in their heart. But it'll be interesting to see how it comes out. But I want to get your thoughts on this, particularly with the Swiss deciding, you know what? No, we don't really need to set that because we want things to be more competitive here. What do you think about it? 382-4280-877-382-4280-803-73 if you'd like to text us. We'll head to the phones here and chat with Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well for a Monday. How about yourself?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Michigan.
There you go. There you go.
Yep. Do you happen to know what the Swiss wage was going up to?
Let me look it up and see.
It's 24 and change.
Yeah.
Just looked it up myself before I called. That might seem a little exorbitant, and I think that's, you know, there were people that were clamoring for a $15 wage and this and that. And, mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, with the cost of the economy, everything's going up. Mm-hmm. Gas being $4 an hour. We haven't had a decent minimum wage hike in, I don't know when the last time is. I didn't look that up before I called you, but something needs to be done, and I'm not saying that it needs to go up to 10-10 or whatever else, but I think that, you know, the politicians are a little bit scared because I think the 10-10 things get some traction, and they mm-hmm. need to do something, and I guess if that's what we need to do to force our politicians to do something, then that's what we need to do.
Well, and I definitely like the idea that, you know, that they're reacting to this, saying, all right, there's some popular support for the idea. And, you know, they're coming on board with, okay, well, let's get together and do something. But I think that 10-10, I mean, you know, there are restaurant owners that are just absolutely looking at this and going, that's the end. And, you know, they won't be able to afford that sort of thing. It's the kind of thing where we need to have a discussion about it. And I guess my hope is that we can continue to have a discussion about it instead of have what has been happening, which is one group saying one thing and another group going, nope, it's got to be our way or no way.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about our political system right now, because we've got your far left and your far right, and we don't have anybody that's willing to reach across the aisle and get things done. So our political system is broken. Until we can get by that, I don't see a whole heck of a lot happening, really.
Mm-hmm. One question for you, Jeff, just out of curiosity, because I'm of two minds on this subject, but do you think with the political system the way that it is, that this might be the time for kind of a middle-of-the-road third party to come along and really be able to bring about some agreements?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I voted for Ross Perot both times he ran for president.
So okay.
Bring him on.
Okay.
Bring him on.
All right. Well, it'd be interesting to see how it works. Jeff, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
And 382-4280 is our phone number if you'd like to be a part of the discussion as well. Minimum wage. The Swiss have come along and said, no. No, we're not going to increase it. Don't want to have problems that way. And, you know, the Michigan Senate has talked about, oh, well, we want to increase it eventually to $9.20 an hour. Organizers of the ballot proposal in Michigan have said, 10-10, got to be 10-10. It has to be. That's the way that it needs to be, and that's it. And it's almost like they won't listen to anything else. I'm curious. I really want to see down the road how this all works out, because obviously the ballot initiative is out there. There are people that believe, there are people in business, there are people in government that believe that 10-10 is too much. And so I'm really interested to see what's going to be happening in the House, in the state House, for the next several weeks on this. Because there's going to be something. There's going to have to be something. Or otherwise, I think, you know, politicians from both sides know this 10-10 thing. People are going, I could vote myself a raise. Yes. Because they don't think about what happens on the other side of it. You know, so I think there needs to be definitely some forethought in this. And here's an interesting thing. Somebody commented, and you can text with your comments, 803-73. They said that those in poverty, because of the minimum wage, would be lifted out of poverty, let's say optimistically 30 days until the price of everything gets lifted as well. I think that's the other part of it. You know, there needs to be something else that's focused on here. And I think, you know, Gary Peters brought it up. He talked with Kalamazoo's Morning News today. And when he talked about this, he talked about, well, you know, on the federal level, it's 725. Of course, here in the state, we know it's 740. But on the federal level, it's 725. It's not enough. We need to raise it. The president's talked about raising it. We just need to do it. But here's the thing. I think at the federal level, you know, this might be something where they say, all right, we're going to leave this to the states. And I think it might be one of those issues where it should be left to the states. Because let's face it, if you have done any cost of living analysis on living anywhere, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different living here versus living 2 hours down the road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's different living here versus living 14 hours down the road in Houston, Texas. And it's different from here versus New York or L.A., or Chicago, or any other of the number of big cities. It's a different deal. So maybe it's up to individual states to say, all right, we're going to set the minimum wage. And at the federal level, doing what they can do to make sure jobs get created. Now, there's different views on that. There's different views in, okay, well, you know, do we get government involved in making sure that happens? Or do we get government out of the way of making that happen? And there's thoughts on both sides. We could dig into, and we don't have the time to do it. I wish we did. We don't have the time to really dig into some of the ways that people are saying, all right, government's stifling this. Obamacare could very well be one of those things. I mean, I saw a report that was just out the other day, said there was yet another hospital that said, got to make some cuts. Obamacare. And it's happening all over America. Stuff like that doesn't exactly bode well for creating jobs and creating a better way of life for everybody. And that doesn't have to do with, oh, well, let's raise the minimum wage. That has to do with, let's get some jobs in this country so we can have a labor force participation rate that's higher than 1978's. Let's not forget what it was like in 78. It was pretty bad times all the way around. We don't want to do that again. So I think this needs to be a two-pronged effort. Yeah, needs to be looked at on a statewide level. That's where the minimum wage needs to be set if we're going to do it at all. And on the national level, that's where they need to say, all right, nationally, we're just going to look at ways to make things easier for companies to set up shop and do business in America. Just my two cents worth. Love to hear your thoughts on it, and you can continue to share those in a variety of places. Text us, of course. We will see your comments. And, of course, tomorrow, you know what? We're going to get together and do it all over again. Looking forward to it. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO. Until then, good evening, everybody.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.